Hey guys, Josh here to let you know Interbrews has a Patreon page. Yes, we do. And for as little as $1 an episode, you too can help support this show to get the word out about all the awesome beers from the Houston area and beyond, and also all the awesome people involved in the Houston and greater Texas craft beer industry. Like today's episode with Chris and Caleb and Bianca at Backfish, which we had to do a little bit of a turn simply because of this storm, but we'll get into all that on the show. But anyway, your chance to help support the show right there on Patreon, patreon.com/interbrews. And we appreciate any support that you can or want or, you know, don't give. You know, your earballs on this promo right now, that means a lot too. So thanks for listening. Now on to Backfish with Chris, Caleb, and Bianca.
The following is a presentation of Stewed Productions.
This is Interbrews.
All right, everybody, welcome to Interbrews. It's been a couple of weeks since I put out a show, and we had one scheduled today with Bianca. Hey, say hi, Bianca.
Hi.
Chris and Caleb down at Backfish in Pearland. And guys, I didn't even know until last night late. Apparently there's a tropical storm or something.
That's a rumor. We got a little bit of rainfall around here.
How is it? Are you everybody okay?
Oh yeah. No, it's all good. Kids are off school, so mom's home with them today.
Oh good.
We're not building a bunch of
Caleb, you're a little muffled, so if you can like lean up, like get real close to Chris, maybe even sit in his lap. So you both
so maybe, already was.
Oh well, then I don't know.
There's no video.
Yeah, quit nuzzling into his neck. Then I guess is whatever. But anyway, but anyway. So Backfish Brewing in Pearland, guys, you've got a big event coming up. We wanted to talk about, and Caleb, now that you're there, it's kind of a historic thing. Caleb making his epic return to Interbrews. And so how did we get to where we're at? So, you know what? First of all, let's go ahead out of the gate. We'll talk about it now and then before we end the podcast. But you have a big beer release coming up. Tell us about that.
We're partnering up with the Audubon Society. Yeah, the Houston Audubon.
We're partnering up with the Houston Audubon. We did a collaboration beer with them. It'll be released this Saturday at 3 p.m. It's called Pelican. It's a pale ale made with the Falconer's Flight hops. And I'll just take it from there if you want to talk about it more.
Yeah. Tell me more about it's that.
The beer is it's a session IPA. It's with Falconer's Flight hops, kind of going with the bird theme on that one. We dry hopped it with like just a massive amount. I think we did what 3 pounds per barrel or something crazy. Something like, yeah, and it's a great beer, and it'll be released Saturday.
And then wide throughout Houston that week after the port around the town.
Okay, well, how did the collaboration come about? Or Chris, are you a big?
They actually approached us about it. I guess they were just shopping breweries, and we were the first one to say yes. And so
y'all weren't out. Yeah. You weren't out.
We've been wanting to do something like this with, you know, an organization, like a conservation organization. Mm-hmm. And it was just the right timing.
Okay. So y'all weren't out birding on a random like Tuesday and they saw y'all.
No.
Okay. When do y'all normally bird? Is that a thing that y'all go bird? Is that?
That's a Saturday morning. You know.
I like to bird during traffic.
the old two-finger salute?
Yes.
We actually just found out that where we're located in Pearland is actually has like a bird sanctuary here. So the CVB actually has joined in sponsoring this event, and they had really nice coasters made up for us. And then the Houston Audubon Society, we have had special edition pint glasses made up. The first 50 people to order and purchase Pelican will receive a pint glass.
Okay, that's cool. Mark that down. Note to self, get the glass. Okay, so tell me about, okay, Falconer's Flight. Obviously, the name for the hop makes a lot of sense, but tell me about the hop itself. What flavors and things like that? What can we expect from the beer itself?
So the Falconer's Flight is actually a hop blend that one of the Northwest hop providers makes together. This one happens to be called the version, which uses 7 of the sea hops in it. I know Cascade, Centennial, Columbus, Citra, Cluster. Remember what the other two are?
That's like the Santa Claus reindeer.
Yeah. Chinook. I have no idea what the last one is.
I can't think of it. It's all the sea hops.
Yep.
So it's a blend.
Yes.
It's a proprietary blend they put together.
Oh. Well, is the ratio all the same, or do they add a little bit more of this, or do you know, or?
And they don't really release that. It's proprietary.
Yeah.
Oh,
you can get the notes in there. You know, I definitely get some of the Cascade and the Centennial. Yeah, you know, some of the more prominent hops. Definitely shine through there real nice. It's got this kind of blend of, you know, piney tropical fruit thing. That's it's real pleasant. You know, they take, you know, a lot of brewers, you know, us included, typically throw 2-3 hops in a beer, when we're blending an IPA or something like that. So this kind of takes the
they're already blending
they're doing the work for us.
And so for an IPA, you're using it for I don't know how many different. Are you dry hopping? Did you say? Using it for all three, like bittering and flavoring and aroma and all? Is it like every level of hopping you're using the blend?
You know, we bittered with our use Magnum and pretty much bitter everything because it's a clean bittering hop. And then Falconer's Flight went in at the end of the boil, kind of going after that, you know, juicier, you know, flavorful instead of bitter IPA. Bursting. And then we just dry hop the hell out of it.
What is the brewer's like actual measurement for dry hop the hell out of something? Is it? Do you have to meet a certain threshold? What is the?
I think anytime you get over 2 pounds per barrel, that's pretty much considered dry hop the hell out.
Okay, so you can find that in like the Encyclopedia of Brewing.
Yeah, it's a brewing term.
from way back, like in the olden days, and you shall goeth forth and dry hoppeth the hell out of it.
Yes.
So saith.
You'll find that in brewer's logs in the 1800s.
All right. Well, no, I love IPA. Who doesn't love IPAs? I don't know. Everybody loves IPAs.
One's an easy drinker, too, because it's only at 5.5%.
Oh. See, that would have been a perfect at the brewery at 10 a.m. doing a podcast in the middle of a hurricane IPA.
I've got your pint sitting right here.
Ah. Guys, seriously, I was so excited about coming down to see you guys in this stupid storm. My heart's a little broken right now. But it's not, you know, this is a great event and everybody loves, you know, we want to raise money to help the birds and try delicious beer and the Audubon Society and everything. And that's a fantastic thing. But you'll have other events. So we'll have another excuse for me to come down. Anything in the future coming up past this event? You know, obviously your tap room is open all the time, but you know, anything else you've got coming up in the future that you know about currently?
We have something big in the works that'll be coming out in the next few weeks.
But
I'm gonna leave it at that.
Oh, so that's called a tease.
Yeah, you gotta keep those lips tight on that one.
Okay. Is there a general time for which this possible awesome epic thing could be happening, like before the end of the year ish? Is that?
Oh yeah, like next month.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Okay. All right then. So there you go. Well, let's mark our calendars. Let's go ahead and schedule in an actual visit when this dumb storm gets past. I'm going to come down and hang out, and we'll talk about it. So let's go ahead and do that.
Oh, happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, yes. Happy birthday. Oh,
thank you.
I'll have birthday drinks.
Thanks. Yeah, please go ahead. Chug one for me. Yeah, I'm 39 today, so still in my 30s. That's my mantra for the rest of the year. Still in my 30s. So yeah, we'll hang on to that as long as we possibly can. I'll hang on to that because the hairline's going. I think my hearing may be gone. Maybe I put my headphones up too high. I don't know, because I'm just always asking people what, and that's it's kind of my catchphrase now. But anyway, I digress. Caleb.
Yes, sir.
You're at Backfish now.
I am.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been here since May.
Yeah,
it's been fun. Yeah, time has flown.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to get down there right away, and now we're almost in October, and we're just now chatting it up. So, how's it been? I know you were talking about doing a lot of experimental stuff and all that kind of. You were just super excited about you and Chris working together and just being there, and you know, you could see the giddiness in your face as you were explaining it all. So, tell us about your time so far at Backfish and what's been going on.
It's been great. It's an awesome work atmosphere. Great coworkers.
We're totally normal.
Yeah. And I get to have fun and brew a lot of small batches for the tap room. Which is awesome. And then I get to come up and drink beer in the tap room with the people trying the beer every day. You know, it's not something I used to get to do.
Yeah. What have you been brewing up there for tap room only kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, we, run the gamut of, right now there's a German Hefeweizen on tap. That's a small batch. I've done some Gozes, some porters and stuff. We've got a little barrel project going.
So yeah. ESB just kicked the other day.
So. Oh, yeah. We've got a nitro tap now. We've been running an ESB through that. We've got a milk stout coming out in about 2 weeks. Mm. That's going to run on that. And just playing around and having fun, trying to make good beer.
Yeah. How big is that pilot system?
It's only a barrel. Okay. So anytime you see us post that something's on tap,
yeah,
kind of want to hurry up and get here.
So
it doesn't tend to stick around long.
So a barrel – translate. So if we're doing into keg, that's two half barrel kegs. That's high level math for me. Half of
it's about 30 gallons.
Okay. Okay. Which translates to about 300 pints. 200.
You're making me math way too early.
well, yeah. Okay. So it's if you and 30 of your closest friends all go to the tap room, you can each have 10. So, or, you know, 60 of your closest friends, there's enough for everybody to have five, right? So, yeah, that those all go by pretty quick. What, of the things that you've been able to brew so far, what are some of the highlights for you personally that you know, getting to sit around and drink with people in the tap room? What have you been most proud of or happiest with, or?
I don't know. I kind of Backfish has never really had any sours on tap. Mm. And so that's been kind of fun to see how they react to the Gozas I've released. About 2 weeks ago, we released a pear and ginger?
Ginger pear.
Yeah. Mm. Goza that went like awesome. It didn't last the weekend. Mm. And just bringing some new stuff to the tap room, you know, on top of our mainstays.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, has there been anything that, kind of put a little pep in your step when you try? I mean, is there any like styles that, you know, you're trying like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. Caleb kind of pushed me outside of my comfort zone as far as stuff goes on that stuff.
This is very true.
I've always been very, you know, traditional, that kind of thing. And you know, he's wanting to do this salted watermelon goza thing. And I'm like, all right. Yeah. I've always been leery of bringing bacteria into the brew house because you know, you hear all these horror stories and stuff like that. So, I was like, all right, you know, you've been doing this, go ahead, you know, kind of gave him the reins and let him kind of run. So,
and I keep catching him peeking around the corner at me.
Yes, like what kind of bugs are you bringing in here?
Caleb, just to add to that, but Caleb has been great. I love having him here, he's creative. Smart, you know, he's very experimental. So yeah. I like all those things. Cause like Chris said, been very traditional, and which I think is a great thing, because everybody wants to know that you can do those traditional styles, but you can also, you know, get trendy and creative with it.
Yes. And I don't, you know, I don't know. I mean, you guys are in the middle of it working in a brewery every day, but from somebody who's a professional beer drinker, I guess is what I am mostly. I waver back and forth. Sometimes I'm like, I just want something traditional. I want a Pilsner. I want a Porter. Or I want, you know, something in that mm-hmm. vein. And I'm like, that's just what I want. I want to pair it with this type of food. And that's my mood today. And then sometimes I'm like, I want to try something that I've never had before. And then it may be something like a Goza, a salted watermelon Goza or something, or it may be, you know, some, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, actually, we have something unique on tap right now. We have a white chocolate blonde that's been doing really well.
Did you a white chocolate blonde?
Yes. Yep.
All right, take me through that. How does one make a white chocolate blonde?
It's a blonde ale that we use chocolate in. Mm-hmm. And it just has like this awesome. Some people call it like M&M in a glass, like M&M's and blonde or something, or those six-lits or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's really caught on, especially with like the darker beer drinkers. They like that, you know, chocolatey, roasty flavor, and that chocolate really comes through on that blonde.
Hmm. But it didn't pick up any of the color.
Right.
Which is cool.
Yeah, that's I mean, I've heard of the a white stout before. I don't know if that was like a trend for about, I don't know, 4 minutes at one point. But I guess that's kind of in the same vein, right? As far as you close your eyes.
It does. If you didn't see that blonde beer, you would think you were drinking like a stout or something like that. And not like not heavy like that, but you just get that chocolate and you don't see that many blonde beers.
Yeah, no, that's true. Absolutely. Well, that's cool. I wish I'd set up like a white chocolate blonde cam and get people's like, I want to see people's facial expressions, you know, when they try that beer. That's one of those beers when you try it for the first time, it kind of blows your mind.
That's a good idea, actually.
It would be all like right. Those old Folgers, commercials. We've switched their normal blonde beer with a blonde chocolate blonde beer. Watch their reaction as they try. And then you remember those old commercials from just me from like 1984.
I don't know. You're 39.
I know. Right. That dates me a bit. I'm so old. Anyway, Google, like YouTube, go on YouTube and watch those commercials. That's anyway, Folgers. And then like the wife would always get mad because it's like, he never had, you know, normally has a second cup of coffee when we're at home. And so she's all worried about it. No. Anyway. Well, in that same vein, what else, like Caleb, what else could you do? There's a white chocolate blonde. Could you do like a, could you flip that on its head and do a dark Pilsner?
I don't think that works that way.
Oh.
No, I think a Pilsner just has to be Pilsner.
Oh.
Schwartz beer at that point.
Yeah, that's a Schwartz.
Okay. I guess so.
You're into another category at that point.
What about like a chocolate Hefeweizen?
Chocolate Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
That could work. If you got the banana to come through. Mm-hmm. Chocolate covered banana. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
Thank you for feeding us these ideas, by the way.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess it would work, right? It'd be kind of like a Dunkelweizen, right? Sort of, maybe, or a...
I guess without the color, right?
Yeah. Or yeah. What's the other one? What's the big one? Not Dunkelweizen, but beyond that, the bigger one.
The Weizenbach.
Yeah, Weizenbach. That's what I was thinking. Yes, thank you, Chris. Excellent. That's it's a style you don't see quite as often as I don't know that you ever saw it that often, but I haven't seen it in a while. But maybe it's kind of in that same vein. I don't know. Maybe not as big though. It usually has big alcohol, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Just a thing to think about. Well, What else has been going on? I mean, obviously, you know, experimental beers and taproom only stuff, that's super exciting and makes me wish I lived in Pearland. And this is where I tell everybody listening, not in the Pearland area, if you're getting down there, you know, make sure you visit Backfish when you're in the Pearland. Make it a point. If you're like me and you, you know, you have kids that do all kinds of sporting events or whatever, always map that out. Pro tip. Map out the kids' events, find the breweries around, and you know, that's how you make the trip.
Houston now.
Yes. Yes. Houston has become very doable for that. You know, it's an embarrassment of beer riches. I don't know. But anyway, it's seriously though, I was just on Reddit this morning and somebody was saying, hey, coming to Houston, what do y'all recommend? I'm like, well, it's a very open-ended question. One, where are you going to be at geographically? Because Houston's huge, but anywhere you are, you know, like if you're south of town, you know, obviously you guys are there. Saloon Door's not far, you know, Valenson's, you guys are all right there together. If you, yep. You know, further down, you know, it's a really good time to be a beer fan in Houston, and everybody's making really good beers. Yeah. But enough about them, back to Backfish.
Actually, I was going to say, in the spring, last year, and we were planning on doing it again, for 2020, but, we actually held a music festival called Music to My Beers Fest. And it's a festival that actually highlights all the breweries south of Houston.
South of
the Beltway.
Oh, I like it. Where did you have it at Backfish?
No, we had it in Pearland at the Pearland Town Center over by 288.
Okay.
So we had like Bow there. We had The Devil in the Deep, Fetching Lab,
Brigadoon,
yeah. Texas Leaguer.
Yeah.
TBR was there.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, that was fun to do it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So are you, and that's definitely happening again, or is that?
Yep, it's definitely happening again. We already have it in the books.
Okay. What's the, do you know the date for that? You said spring, right?
It's in May. I don't have my calendar right in front of me. You can't ask me anything without my calendar.
All right. Well, we'll post that.
But it'll be a thing.
Yeah, that sounds like, ooh, I'm going to have to mark I'm marking my calendar. I'm going to find out. And then that sounds like one I need to be at for sure. That just sounds like a party. Yeah, absolutely. What's not to like? All right. Well, what else do we need to talk about? Obviously you guys, you know, you're canning, your beers are in cans. I'm looking at the website now. Is it still the same lineup with 1, 2, 3, 4? Oh, wait.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the staple four, Delicious beers, your All Y'all, Golden Ale, your Double IPA, Defying Gravity. I tell you what's year round.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm glad y'all are doing that year round because one, that's a delicious beer. Two, it gets too hot all year round to not have that style available, and that's a fantastic version of that. And
I'm not sure if you're aware, but we actually branched out into San Antonio last year.
You know, we have, I think I did see something, but go ahead, please go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say we're distributing their cans and kegs. So San Antonio and the surrounding areas.
Okay. That's awesome. How is that? I mean, it's, San Antonio, you know, its own market, different than Houston. How has it been managing those two things?
We've had challenges, but it's been good. Our sales guy over there, he kills it. So it's great. It's definitely a different market than it is here in Houston, for sure.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about Texas, but it's also probably one of the biggest challenges is that it is different. Each place you go, like Austin and San Antonio, are very different from each other, and they're both very different from Houston. And then, you know, someplace like Dallas, which, I mean, if you have to go to Dallas, you know, it's Dallas.
Why would you need to go to Oklahoma?
I don't. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Oklahoma South. I don't. I don't know. But anyway. Okay. Well, so yeah, San Antonio. I know we have people listening right now. And, well, as you know, as they're driving around in their, you know, cars listening to this podcast. Backfish Brewing beer available right now in San Antonio. So anywhere finer beers are sold. What are y'all in? Like, what do they have there? We have Specs and Total Wine here. Do they have the same out in San Antonio?
They have another one out there. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, if people live in San Antonio, they know.
Yeah, they
know. All right. All right.
We're all finer beers are found.
Yes, we're all finer beers are found. You will find Backfish, the finest. Among the fine beers. All right, okay, so we're steady moving into fall. I have to ask, we're, you know, for the last 7 weeks, all the pumpkin stuff has been out at my local HEB. It started as soon as it, you know, was still, you know, dropped below 100 degrees for whatever reason they decided to throw out pumpkin stuff. Y'all's views of pumpkin beer, will Backfish do a pumpkin beer? Is it?
Actually, just discussed that yesterday.
Yeah, I definitely want to do something small batch wise.
Mm-hmm.
The tap room, but I really don't think
big scale. I don't know if the demand's there anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of plus everyone's doing so many and they're putting them out so early.
Yeah,
people are getting kind of burnt out on them, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely that. It's like people, I think people want to be excited about it, but then I don't know. I don't know what that is. Like, there are some pumpkin beers that I love, but then I find myself even being mad at myself for, you know, ordering them in August or whatever. You know, it's...
Yeah.
And you're a pumpkin lover.
I am. I have an unhealthy obsession with pumpkin, probably. People,
are you growing pumpkins again this year?
Not on purpose. It's the weirdest thing. A few years ago, my nephew was out back carving a pumpkin and he thought it would be hilarious to throw a bunch of them up in the air. So now if I don't mow every single week, I get pumpkin plants that pop up. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
You got your own pumpkin patch.
I know. Right. They, pumpkins are funny. Like maybe that should tell us something about the proliferation of pumpkin beers. Maybe it's just something to do with like the innate nature of pumpkins. I was driving behind my local HEB and they had, I guess, dropped some pumpkins by the dumpster, and I drove by a couple weeks later and they had these full pumpkin vines growing right outside the dumpster. I was like, oh, garbage pumpkins. Interesting. I wonder what kind of I wonder what kind of flavors those will have. So
hopefully it doesn't have flavors of the terroir.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I mean, they'll literally grow anywhere. So I don't, maybe that's the problem. Maybe they glom onto everything, and maybe it's not the pumpkin. Maybe there's like the spirit of pumpkin, like gets into everything and you can't shake it. It's like a virus. The zombie apocalypse will have nothing to do with zombies. It'll be just people drinking, you know, pumpkin spice lattes all day. And
I'm down with that.
Turns out the zombie apocalypse smells great. the end of the world smells like a country store. Anyway, I don't know.
Decked in pumpkin spice.
Yes. So if you're gonna do a small batch in the tap room, what's the approach?
I don't know. I'm still thinking it through on what style, because there's so many ways you can go about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna call it basic.
We were just like throwing around the idea yesterday.
So. Yeah, I'm.
That's as far as it's gotten so far.
And that's the nice thing about the tap room is we can actually be, you know, in the proper season with stuff. You know, it's like, okay, if we brew it next week, it'll be ready in October.
Yes.
And actually release it when I think it should be released, not when I have to release it to not get the market stuck with it kind of thing. So.
Yeah,
you have to release your stuff in the summer, your winter stuff in the fall.
Yes, yep. That's so true. That's so true. It's almost, it almost makes more sense to do just the seasonals and the, even like the ultra seasonals in in just the tap room.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I dig it.
And plus, we've got a great homebrew store in the area. Mm-hmm. And so if there's something that we all of a sudden, oh, man, let's do that right now. All we got to do is run down the street and get it. The stuff.
What is the name of that homebrew store?
Hop and Grape is the one we use.
Okay. Hop and Grape.
We're right next to the beer's looking at you.
Okay. Hop and Grape. There you go. Yeah, that's good. It's good to know that there's homebrew stores, you know, not just great breweries, but also homebrew stores in most general areas of the city.
Oh, yeah.
So, good stuff.
In fact, Hop and Grape just expanded. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good to know because, you know, we had Scott decided to close up DeFalco's. He decided to retire or whatever, and that's good that they're picking up the mantle and running with it. So, that's good stuff. Because homebrewers are by nature, I think, just more curious beer drinkers anyway.
Right.
So,
yeah,
more homebrewers, the more people are going to show up at the brewery wanting to compare notes.
And we actually semi-officially started kind of a homebrew club here. It's more of a just, you know, kind of come and hang out. We do it the first Monday of every month where everybody just kind of shows up. We share some beers. We talk about some beers. Just have a good time. It's another thing that helps me, you know, just kind of learn what's going on out there, what they're tapping into right now. And, you know, we've offered them, hey, you know, if you think something crazy, let us know. We'll put it on our pilot system too. So, trying to build that and expand that community as well.
Oh, that's cool. Does the homebrew club have a name?
Not yet. I'm sure we'll come up with one eventually and it'll be some terrible acronym for something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. On the to-do list. Come up.
I think all the CIA, KGB, all those have been taken. So
yeah.
We'll have to get something else.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see. CIA's taken, FBI. I don't know. Caleb, Caleb, any ideas?
I have none for that.
Okay. Just any three letters. Let's see. What is the American Medical Association, AMA, the ale making... something, I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry. We'll leave it to them. We'll leave it to them. All right. Well, what else do we need to discuss? What else do we need to promote? What else do people need to know about Backfish?
I'm not sure when this podcast is going to drop, but we've got Talk Like a Pirate Day coming up tomorrow.
Is that tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah. 19.
Oh.
So Chris is going to hate me for this, but I don't know if you know, but Chris is actually a pirate.
Yeah, well, that's the rumor going around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it?
It's on the underground.
Well, the patch.
You got to be real tapped into my social media.
So, wait, tomorrow's Talk Like a Pirate Day. Okay. And what are y'all doing for that? Anything?
We're just being silly about it, but we're going to have some fun with it. If you come in, order your beer, talk to the bartender, order your beer, talking like a pirate, and you get happy hour prices.
Okay. Perfect.
So that'll be $1 off the pool pours.
Okay. Perfect. And then if they don't talk like a pirate, is there like a plank to walk or a...
Yes.
No, but that's actually a great idea. I might think about implementing that.
As much as it's raining right now, we might be able to do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe get like a table and designate it as Davy Jones' locker. I don't know. No? Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry. All right.
We have a mystery murder dinner coming up, right?
Yeah, we do have a murder mystery dinner coming up October 5th as well.
Okay.
People have been asking for us to do that, so we're bringing it back. So everybody needs to sign up.
Okay.
By September 30th.
Okay. Yeah. I'll make sure I post this show today. As soon as we are done talking, I will get my fingers moving to put this episode out. Okay, so murder mystery. Wait, say that one more time, Caleb.
Sorry, we're making you work on your birthday.
No, this is not work. I wanted to be there. That's the thing. Like, I was so, when I had to reschedule, again, getting old, because my back, anyway, I won't even talk about that, but it was to when I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. This is going to be great. I want to hang out with everybody on my birthday. And then the stupid storm. Anyway, whatever. But we'll do it again. I'll be down there soon. And maybe we'll just talk like a pirate just for the.
Hopefully you can make it out before our next big reveal.
Well, when is that?
Probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, what are y'all doing the first week of October? Let's do that. Let's just pencil it in. Well, you know what? Bianca, we'll chat after the show. We'll work all the details. All right. Well, I won't keep you guys much longer. I'll let you get back to making chocolate blonde ales, and Caleb, I'll let you continue to push Chris's boundaries and you know, make him spy around corners. And... but guys, stay dry, stay high and dry, and thank y'all for spending a few moments with me via the internet and technology. That makes it pretty cool that we can chat it up, even though there's a big storm.
Yep, and even though we're bad at technology over here.
No, it works. It works. And you know what? It works so well that, you know, this got me to thinking. I'm like, there's no reason for me not to do, like, quick shows like this. If y'all have an event, just let me know, and I'll put it out there. Because people like to hear it straight from you guys, you know, like, what's going on. Like, the day of the, you know, or, like, a couple of days before the murder mystery dinner. You know, why not?
Yeah, awesome. Definitely keep that in mind. Thank you.
We can absolutely do that for sure. And Caleb, congratulations on being a great brewer and working at a great brewery.
Oh, thank you.
And Chris, congratulations on hiring Caleb and
thank you.
And Bianca, congratulations on surviving work with those two every single day. So anyway. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. Backfish Brewing, everybody in Pearland. You know, look for their beers in stores, in cans. They're very bright, and they will catch your eye. So you should be able to see them readily. And get down to that tap room because, like they just discussed, new and exciting things all the time. And if you're not there, you're going to miss it. And you're going to get that FOMO, you know? You're going to miss it. So, delicious stuff going on at Backfish. So Caleb, Chris, and Bianca, thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
All right. For the guys, my name is Josh. Thanks for listening to a shortened episode of Interbrews. We'll see you next time.
This is Interbrews.
The preceding has been a presentation of Stewed Productions.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed this episode of Interbrews. If you did, hey, show us some support. Go to our Patreon page, become a Patreon supporter, and there's exclusive interviews and episodes just for you. If you do that, if you've enjoyed the show, get a little more. And help us go on for another 7 years. It's been 7 years. We want to go on for seven more. I guess that's a long time, 14 years for a podcast. Has anybody done that? I don't think so. Anyway, show your support if you'd like. We really appreciate it a ton, and exclusive shows. So thank you in advance, and we'll see you next episode of Interbrews.